This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The weekend shooting spree in Kalamazoo that left six people dead and two seriously injured brought focus to the ride-sharing service Uber. The accused shooter, Jason Dalton, was driving for Uber at the time and even picked up customers in between and then after the shootings. Nick Bunkley, a Kalamazoo native who covers Ford for Automotive News, has some thoughts on Uber and the tragic events in Kalamazoo. He wrote about them in a post titled, "For Uber, Finding the Right Balance Tool to Ensure User Safety." Nick Bunkley, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how much did this story hit home for you as someone who is from Kalamazoo?
Well, I actually happened to be awake when I started seeing some reports about it and turned on Channel 3 that I could watch from my computer because it was right where I grew up. I mean, I used to live right over by KBCC, so near the Cracker Barrel there, and went to Matawan. Of course, we know Tyler Smith was a senior there.
How big an issue has Uber been for people in general who write about the automotive industry?
Well, the auto companies are really looking at Uber and Lyft and all these companies that are sort of coming into the space that they've been in all these years, and you know, realizing that people are using these companies to get around as opposed to sometimes buying a car, and they see that as only becoming a bigger challenge to them. So Uber has been a huge topic for us at Automotive News and for all the auto companies. Every auto show, they are talking about getting into these mobility types of services. And so for Uber to then be involved in some way with this case, it was something that already had my attention, but then something that it relates to what I cover every day.
Involved in some way, but as you point out in this column, there's a couple of different issues which have been swirling here, and there's probably a little more credibility in some areas than others. Let's start off with background checks. There's the question of would a background check have caught this guy, or a better background check? And as you say in this column, probably not. Why?
Well, the background checks that Uber does have been a issue that sort of dogged them since they came to prominence. In this case, it just doesn't seem like that's something that would have made a difference because, as everybody has found out so far, there doesn't really seem to be any history that would have been caught on any kind of background check. People that knew him didn't seem to have too much thought that he could be doing anything like this. So for a company to run a background check, there was nothing there for them to find. And of course, I mean, the fact that he was an Uber driver is sort of incidental to what happened here. And he really seems to have been giving rides before and after the shootings, but didn't actually involve anything related to Uber, as far as we know.
But you do say that there is something that Uber should add to their service, which might have come into play here. Now, explain what we're talking about in terms of what might be called a panic button.
Well, that's something that's been talked about because Uber did put that in India, where there was a case where a driver attacked a passenger and got a lot of attention there. And so in response to that, they put in this in the app that people use to call a car, and then they also use it to track their ride as they're in the car. This talk of having some sort of an emergency button right in there, you're already using the app. It shows where this car is, where it's going, where it's been, who's driving it, some way to alert police and or the Uber company itself as to some issue here, because there was the case of the man who says he got a ride from Jason Dalton hours before these shootings started. He said he had to eventually jump out of the car after he couldn't get the guy to pull over and call 911, tried to contact Uber, but there's really no good way to contact Uber, and so you had the police. However much they were looking for this vehicle, they didn't really have much to go on, whereas Uber, the company that would have known exactly who this car was, who the driver was. You know, it was just basically an email that was sent that nothing seems to have been followed up on that evening.
And what has Uber said so far about why there is not some sort of panic button in their app?
They've faced a lot of questions since this happened, and they've basically been deferring to 911, saying, you know, in the U.S., we have this 911 service, and that's what you should use if there's some sort of emergency. Obviously, that did happen, and you know, it didn't lead to a capture happening before the shootings happened. Of course, at the time that 911 was called and Uber was contacted, you know, it was relating to erratic driving as opposed to any kind of shooting or violence or anything like that. But it just provided an opportunity, perhaps, in this case, to have you know, raised some flags to the right people. But there just wasn't a real good way to do that, it seems.
Beyond safety, could you also make an argument here that there's a good business reason for Uber to want to maybe just have more confidence that something will be done or action will be taken if they are properly notified and if there is good reason to do so?
Sure. And I think, you know, basically if the only way to contact the company right now is by email, I mean, you know, everybody knows you send out an email and you just, there's no sense of, you know, if anybody's seeing it or what's going to happen from there, you know, whether, you know, anybody's going to look at it for days or weeks or ever. And it would just, I think, help you know, with the confidence of people using the service to feel like they had more ability to contact the company or contact somebody that would have, you know, the information to help them. Of course, you know, from the driver's perspective, I mean, there's a lot of drivers who drive for Uber, thousands of them, who, of course, the vast majority, you know, have not, would not ever do anything, even, you know, remotely, like what we had in this case. And so when Uber does get contacted about erratic driving problems, you know, they say they do have to check, you know, get the driver's side of things. But if there is any allegation of violence, they say they do suspend that driver while they look into it. But again, the more immediate attention that can be given to cases like that, and the more that customers can feel like they can get attention if there's a problem, I think it only helps everybody.
Nick Bunkley, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Nick Bunkley is a Kalamazoo native. He covers Ford for Automotive News. Link to Nick Bunkley's column called For Uber, Finding the Right Balance Tool to Ensure User Safety, can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.